So the scripture reading today is coming out of John's Gospel, and the context is the last evening of Jesus' life. Though this is what we often call Maundy Thursday, that Thursday night before Good Friday. And Jesus is at table with his disciples. He has shared in that last meal with them. He's washed their feet, and then he says these words to them. He says, "Now I give you this commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you should love one another." And then he says, "By this, others will know that you belong to me, that you love one another." May these words of Christ sink deep in our hearts, deep in our community this day. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about legacy this morning, what it means to leave a legacy of love. And what better way to begin that, to think a little bit about how this Mother's Day began, and how it began with a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis, who in her home church is a little Methodist Episcopal church in Grafton, West Virginia, decided she wanted to name a special day for her mother. And so here we are, May 1907. And so Anna organizes Mother's Day for the mothers in that church, and it's a big success. But that wasn't enough for her. She wanted something more out of that. She has this bigger dream of trying to organize a Mother's Day recognition for mothers all over the country. And so she and others begin to write letters. And they write letters to politicians and to clergy and to business people. And it pays off. In 1908, Mother's Day is held, celebrated throughout West Virginia. It's celebrated in Philadelphia. By 1911, it's celebrated in most states as a state holiday. And then in 1914, Woodrow Wilson names it a national holiday. That's how Mother's Day began, a little church in Grafton, a little Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. And there's Anna Jarvis there. With a real story, the real story begins with the legacy of Anna's mother. This is what empowers her to do this. Also named Anna Jarvis, Anna Reeves Jarvis. Anna Reeves Jarvis was also born in West Virginia, the daughter of a Methodist pastor. She marries the son of a Baptist minister, and together they live in rural Appalachia, and they work with the poor in rural Appalachia. And she organizes a series of Mother's Day worker clubs, which were designed to pull mothers together to improve the health and the well-being of the people in these impoverished areas. Also, during the Civil War, she urged these Mother Day clubs to be neutral, to declare neutrality, and to reach out to soldiers on both sides of the war, both Confederate and Union soldiers, which they did. And so they treat soldiers of both stripes. Near the end of the war, Anna organized a Mother's Friendship Day also, and that was designed to bring soldiers together, to bring neighbors together of all political beliefs, to begin to form some reconciliation in our country. And that was a successful thing. It met for several years after the war. Now, it's also said that inspired by Jarvis's work, Julia Ward Howe, who is the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, she organized a Mother's Day for Peace that was committed following the Civil War to abolishing war. This is what she said. She said, "Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity and mercy and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs." Wow. For the next 30 years, mothers celebrated, Americans celebrated, a Mother's Day for Peace on June 2nd. It's also said that Anna's life revolved around the church. She and her husband helped to build that little Andrews Methodist Church in Grafton. She taught Sunday school there for 25 years. She died in May of 1907, and in 1952, Grafton Church was dedicated as a national, made a national shrine. Now, you listen to that story, right? And you can understand why Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother, why she would want to honor all mothers. Her work for peace and justice, her care for the poor, was an inspiration to her. It was an inspiration to all of us. You could say this, friends, that Anna was a Methodist in the classic mold, living out what our founder John Wesley spoke of when he said, there's no religion but social religion. There's no holiness but social holiness. Faith working by love, he said, is the length and breadth, height and depth of Christian excellence. Now, I know Mother's Day conjures up a variety of feelings for us, a variety of feelings for moms, for women, for men as well, for all of us. This is an intimate day. Can be a sentimental day, and that, what I mean by that, it does conjure up a lot of feelings, some great and wonderful and some not so good. But I think this idea of legacy is something we can get around, to get our hearts and heads around. All of us can relate to that. Every one of us wants to create a life that matters, right? We want to live a life that makes a difference and carries on into the future. When we talk about legacy, what we're speaking of is indeed what we pass on to others. Typically, that's spoken of in terms of monetary property, right? That gets passed on, a bequest, estates, and so on. But can't we also talk of friends about a legacy of character, right? A legacy of good works and faith that gets passed on and lived out and inspiring and blessing future generations? I think we can. You think about that this morning. You know, who in your life has left that kind of legacy for you? Who's inspired you? You know, who has blessed you through their life? Who are you thinking about right now? Who are you thinking about this morning? You know, this morning I'm thinking about my own mother, of course. I'm thinking about other women, but I'm thinking about some other stories some other women who lived out that Methodist mode, that who were casting that Methodist model of social holiness, paying it forward. You know, out of our story, I think of someone like Anna Howard Shaw. Grew up in a farm in North Hearn, Michigan, mid-19th century, graduated from Big Rapids High School, Albion College, a Methodist-related college. And in her young adulthood, heard a call to preach the gospel and became the first ordained woman in the Methodist Church. She went on to be a physician, a leader in the women's suffrage movement, wanting to ensure the voice of women in governance. This quote for here, a gentleman opposed to their enfranchisement once said to me, "Women have never produced anything of any value to the world," and I told him the chief product of the woman had been the men, and I left it to him to decide whether the product was of any value. Yeah. She had chutzpah, didn't she? You saw her standing there before that crowd, you know, speaking. Yeah. I also think of Dorothy Fredrickson, the soon-to-retire founder, director of Soaring Unlimited. There's Dorothy with one of her leadership classes. Dorothy is a member of Holt United Methodist Church here in Michigan. After her husband passed, her children had grown, Dorothy heeded a call to ministry, to go to Haiti, to go to this poorest of nations and start a medical clinic. And that's what became Soaring Unlimited in Pistere, Haiti, just outside of Cap Haitien. Not only offering medical services, but things like, you know, sanitation, clean water, nutritional, educational leadership, building homes, providing tuition for school children. And now, a maternal health center is being built on the grounds of Soaring Unlimited. And in our church, I'm kind of excited about this. I'll give you just a heads up. Our church is going to raise, we're looking to raise $20,000 minimum this September for for this maternal health center, so that we can help it get off to a good start. So keep that in mind as you're gauging the things you want to be generous to this year. But because Dorothy followed her own sense of call, who she was hearing God calling her to be, and her calling to follow Christ, that legacy continues. A new director is there. You know, she's passed it on. A new director has come, and the ministry continues. I'm also mindful today of United Methodist Bishop Karen Olivito, who is our church's first openly gay bishop. Now, that ordination is being challenged, that consecration is being challenged within the channels of our church, the law of our church. But, you know, I think about that, and it strikes me that no matter where you are at this point in your life in understanding all of that, same-gender marriage, the ordination of gay persons as leaders in the church, you have to look up to her for the perseverance that she's had, she's felt called to, because this has not been an easy road for her. You know, you're thinking about a young woman who heard this call to ministry that was undeniable, and yet knew who she was. And, you know, here she is, and here God has brought her to this place. And this call is alive in her still to be that person who makes sure that all God's children are welcomed. All God's children are welcomed in the faith community. I think about our United Methodist women. Ruth did a wonderful job talking to us about the National Women's Group and the Legacy Fund. And I think about our own United Methodist women here, who in their early days is that Society for Christian Service would do things like go over to the state hospital and have parties for the patients there, or organize services for migrant workers and migrant families. More recently, this is the group in our church that envisioned and got Building Better Moms going, a support group for moms, and, you know, to come alongside for fellowship and encourage them in parenting, have mission opportunities together. I think of some of the projects that our UMW supports right here inside our building. Things like our junior senior high ministries, camper scholarships, community outreach and meals, the United Methodist Community House in Grand Rapids, Justice for Our Neighbor, Girl Scouts, Women's Resource Center, Goodwill Inn. This is a group of dedicated women. I think today we need to say, good job. Good job. Right? Now, you don't have to be a Methodist, though, to build a legacy of love, do you? We see this everywhere. You know, we see this everywhere. We've experienced it. I think of one story today that just caught my attention last week as I was looking around for some examples, and it's the story of little 10-year-old Najud Ali from the country of Yemen. In 2008, her father sold her into marriage to a man three times her age, but that third grader didn't give up hope of a normal life. She escaped. She became the first child bride in that country to win a divorce, a country where nearly half the girls are married, forced into marriage under the legal age. And now at 28, she's a central figure in this movement to end forced marriage and child marriage. Powerful examples of women who have experienced and passed on that legacy of love in their lives. Which gets us thinking about another question today, along with who has lived that legacy for me. What kind of legacy am I passing on? What kind of legacy of love am I leaving for others in this world? What will I be remembered by? Now, you might have listened to all those stories and thought, wow, my life's kind of mundane. My life seems pretty ordinary. Or you might have said, man, my life's messed up compared to all of that. But here's what I want you to know. I mean, I think we can all relate to that. But you know what? You don't have to be somebody or someone else. You don't have to be somebody else, someone else, in order to have a legacy that matters, a legacy of love. On the contrary, what I hope you hear today is that it's by being the best version of who you are, who God made you to be, being true to God and true to yourself, that you can form a good and lasting legacy. So what does that look like? Well, it seems to me building a legacy is about us day after day, persistently, attending to the life we're given, attending to the work that we've been given, making it our own, owning it, making an account in all the ways that we can. You know, a legacy is the sum of all the opportunities, the failures and the do-overs and the mess-ups, but also the successes that come out of that, and a whole lot of grace mingled in there. It's impossible. It doesn't happen without the grace of God. And over the long haul, we see our lives steered. Maybe there's a lot of stops, but it keeps getting steered in that way of love. One of my favorite quotes, I've shared this with you many times, Nietzsche said, it is a long, slow obedience in the same direction. It is a long, slow obedience in the same direction. Again, hear me though, it's not about being perfect, okay? I don't want anyone to leave here thinking that, you know, man, I don't measure up. It's not about being perfect. It's about being present to life, to God, to love, and growing as we can grow, growing as we can grow as church. In the gospel today, Jesus names words of what this legacy looks like, that he's left for us, that he wants for us. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. As I have loved you, you should love each other. These are his important words. These are words that are so important, he calls it a commandment. Calls it a commandment. He says, this is what defines me in my way. This is what defines you as my followers, love. And let's not miss what Jesus says about this love. He says, it's love as I've loved you. Love as I have loved you. And what we know about Jesus' love is it's a sacrificing kind of love, isn't it? It's a sacrificing kind of love. It's a love that washes feet. It's a love that heals people. It's a love that crosses boundaries and broadens the definition of family. You know, it's a love that fights injustice. It's a love that carries a cross. It's a love that defeats death. It's a love that embraces joy. That's the kind of love Jesus passed on to us. And he said that as you live such love, others are going to know you're mine, that you belong to me, that you're a Christ follower. So today we remember what matters most, what's worthy, how we build a life that matters. And the best of all good news, my friends, the assurance of today is that this love is with us here and now and everywhere, because God is love, and God is here and now and everywhere with us. So think today. You know, reclaim who you are as a child of God, who God made you uniquely, and the kind of legacy you're gonna live out from that. What's something new you can do this week to bring you some joy, you know, and to continue to build on a legacy that you want to leave to others. The Lord is with us as we do that. Amen.
Has chosen. it's just a shout. He loves us, he loves us. All of us from here, join in the cheer. He loves us, he...
One more time.
Let's sing it over me.